To Revelation chapter 1, last week I shared with you from verses 9 through verse 18. This morning I want to continue with verse 19 and 20, 19 more specifically, where he says, "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." I want to use for a subject this morning based on verse 19. I want to use this opportunity to show you the great value that Jesus places on this revelation. I am convinced that chapter 1 is his desire, first of all, to show and to prove to us the value of his resurrection and the place that he now occupies at the right hand of God and in his exaltation and in his glorification. Jesus Christ wanted John, who was in a place where he has been banished, place of exile, the church itself being under tremendous persecution, the Roman government seeking to crush Christianity to the point that it is no longer able to have an influence in the world. Many of the Christians have given the ultimate, and that is their very lives, for the testimony of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Being a Christian should never be considered just something that you and I choose to be in the midst of many other choices that we have for our lives. Christianity and your relationship with the Lord is the ultimate of all relationships. It's above the relationship that you have with your husband, the one that you have with your wife, the relationship that you have with Christ far exceeds anything that you would ever possess in this life. And so he gives you a picture of himself. When you read the Revelation, he begins by showing you that he is the Christ of glorification, of authority, power over the universe, over all circumstances and all mankind. And so the picture that he paints a picture. And that's wonderful in the wisdom of God to paint a picture. He could tell you that I have all authority. He could tell you that I am now exalted. But he gives you a picture. The picture of him is one that sticks in the mind. But I don't want to use a lot of my time to rehearse. I want you to remember and read what he says about himself. That's because he places great value in his position. But I also want you to see this morning the great value that he places in this revelation that he gives to John and to the rest of the church. In verse number 19, I don't know why my brain works like this, but I got stuck on the word write. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Verse 19 is the value of the revelation that he's giving. Verse 20 is the value that he places on the church. Now, I don't want to deal with verse 20 until next week, if the Lord blesses me to live to next week. But I want to just deal with the value that he places on this revelation. Notice he gives the commission. He says, after he has touched John, and says to John, fear not, that I am the first and I am the last. And then he tells John, he says, John, what I need you to do is to write. The mere fact that he says to write shows the value that he places on this revelation. Look at the commission to write. Things which you have what? Seen. The things which are, and the things which shall take place after. What has he seen? I believe that what he has seen is the glorified Christ in the resurrection. That's the vision that he's seen. John, what you have seen, I want you to write it down because I want others to know what you have seen. And then he says to John, the things which are, I believe that that has reference to the present condition that he finds himself in and the church at that time, which was, many believe, being persecuted by Domitian somewhere in the late 80s and the early 90s. When you think in terms of the things which are, but then he says the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 1 deals with the things that he has seen. Chapter 2 and 3 deal with the things which are, the status of the churches. The things which shall be hereafter begin at chapter 4 and go throughout the revelation. Beautiful way to divide the revelation. The things which he has seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So in this commission to write, he says, tell the people, let them know how and what you have seen in this great apocalypse of who this Jesus is. And then when you go back to verse 11, he repeats, verse 19 is a repetition of the emphasis that he gave in verse 11. When he says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest, watch what he says, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. When you read the message to each one of these churches, He begins the message by saying to John, write. Write unto the church at Ephesus. Write unto the church at Smyrna. Write unto the church at Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Each time he says to write. Now, having given the commission to write, I want to share with you why it's important to have a written revelation. Why does God want it written? Number one, when you have something important, you always want to make sure that it's what? Written. The importance of the subject demands that this revelation be written. It's essential for the preservation of what John has seen. Number two, importance of the revelation. Number two, for the preservation for future generations. That's the second reason that it needs to be written. This allows generations, even in the future, to benefit from what John has seen. What John sees in his day, you and I, some 2,000 years later, are able to benefit from what John saw simply because God told John, write it, make sure that it is preserved for future generations. Therefore, the truths of this great message is one that you and I benefit from. Look at Isaiah 30 in verse number 8. This is a beautiful passage which shows the importance and why God wants his word and especially this revelation written. He says to Isaiah, go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come, it may be an everlasting witness. In other words, what God is saying to Isaiah, that if it's written, it will benefit future generations. Another reason that God wants it written is because it will be able to solve doctrinal issues. If something comes up as to a question about what God's will is on any subject, because it is written, all you have to do is go back to the document and read for yourself to see what is it that God actually taught. Anytime you want to have an authoritative source, you've got to make sure that it is written. God has put his final authority, will, in written form. John, what you see. John, what you're witnessing. John, don't you just be awed by what you see. John, write it. Write it. God wants it written. You remember when King Herod heard that the Christ had been born, he asked some men around him, his wise men around him, where was he to be born? Guess what they did? They called for the men who knew the scripture and asked, where is it written? And he found out that it was written that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Guess what happened when the Sadducees tried to trip Jesus up about a man, a wife, a man whose wife passed and his brother married, and then another brother married after he died, and then it ended up that the woman had seven husbands. And then they want to ask Jesus in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Jesus came back and told him, said, you do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power thereof. Reason that he wants it written is to solve any issue resolving or evolving around teaching, doctrine, his will. In Acts 17:11, the Bible said these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Doctrinal issues are resolved when you go back to the written document. It's preserved for future generations. The mere fact that you wrote it says that it's got to be important. Then you can also translate it accurately. If it's a written document, you want to put it in the language of the languages of the world. If it's written, watch God. God wants it to be known when he tells John to write it. John, this revelation, not just for you. This revelation is not just for the church of the first century. This revelation is not just for the Jews. This revelation is not just for the Gentiles. What I am showing you and what message I have for you, it's a message for the whole world. And John, if you just write it, then the translators can begin to translate it into the languages of the people. You can accurately translate if you write it. Then the final reason that it needs to be written is that this is just common sense. This is what we always do. If you and I as human beings know how important it is to write something down, you know, what would this country of ours be like if we didn't have a written Constitution of the United States of America? It is the Constitution, the written Constitution, that those men wrote when this country was first birthed. And it is the same Constitution on which men now come and make decisions about how this country and what this country is all about. The great debate over the Supreme Court justice that was brought into the court, all of that is about the Constitution. And it's always going back. We were able to make a boast that all men are created equal. You know why? Because it was written. When you have a written document, you understand that now you can have stability. You can build continuity. You can consolidate around that which is written. Thank God. We in America, in the United States, have a constitution. When one man during the campaign held up the constitution and asked a man, Mr. So-and-so, have you read the constitution? And I said to myself, I need to go back and read it again myself. Amen. Watch this. I wouldn't dare. Some of us do, but if you're going to leave something and you know you're going to leave this life and you're going to have a will, don't you know you ought to spend some time and do what? Have it written. I wouldn't go into business with someone without having a contract that is written. I wouldn't buy a house without having a written deed. I wouldn't buy a car without having a written title. I wouldn't drive without a written driver's license. I wouldn't marry. No, you shouldn't marry without a written marriage license. Brother Gibb, what are you saying? All I'm simply saying is that we humans know that the way that we keep ourselves rooted in relationship, bound in harmony, making sure that things are done the way they should be done, orderly and right, we put it in deeds and contracts and wills and constitution, marriage license. Don't you know that even in transacting business, even in many fields, you know what they say? If it's not written, it didn't happen. In other words, you own your job. If you're going to bring forth a complaint, you better make sure you have some written documentation. You can't say, well, I think I heard. No, they want to know what you got written. I love to watch Judge Judy. Oh, haven't you watched Judge Judy? I mean, man, if you don't have anything written, you may well just stay at home. What's your point, preacher? Here's the only thing that's gotten me stuck this week in my study was that God is a wise God. And if men are wise to make sure that things are written, then God is wanting to make sure that if you and I are going to be unshakable in our faith, rooted in an unmovable God, God knew, John, you've got to write it. Write it down, John. Make sure that the people in 2021 will be able to know 2018, know 2019, know 2020, know 2021, know the same thing that you know, John. Write it down. Brother Gibbs, why are you putting so much emphasis on it? Because we have some young people who question the Bible. And they say, well, I don't know who wrote it. You don't even, listen. I'm not going to get into any arguments about the Bible. Here's what I want you to know. If men are wise enough and they know common sense is to write things down, don't you think that God is wise enough to know that I got to have mine written? He made Moses write. He made Isaiah write, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, write it. And when you write it, this is a written revelation. And so, as I close, all I'm simply saying, before you throw it away, young people, before you say that it's just another written document, I'd beg you to read it. Listen, as I close with this last point, the blessings from reading the revelation. Listen to it. Go back to Revelation 1, verse number 3. Put that on the screen for me. Revelation 1, 3. Watch what it says in the King James Version. Blessed is he that what? Readeth. They that what? Hear the words of this prophecy. And do what? Keep those things which are what? Written therein. For the time is at hand. If you want your roots to go deeper in God, you're going to have to start reading. You're going to have to start hearing the word of God. In that day, people were not privileged to have their own personal copies of the written word of God. And so when they came to an assembly, they had a reader. And the reader would just read the scripture.
And the Bible said, blessed are those who read. If a man had the privilege to just hold in his hand the words of God and read it, he said, blessed is that man. How prosperous is the man who will read it. Some of you young people, some of us spend more time on our tablets and on our cell phones and doing things in Facebook. All I'm simply saying is that there is an app on that device. You don't have to be in everybody's business. Why don't you just go to John's Revelation and find, get out of my business and get out of the other folks' business and just read. I challenge you. Just read it. God just says, read it. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. I'm not asking you to understand right now. I'm just asking you, read it. You'll be surprised what you will retain just by reading it. Somebody said, well, I don't know what all those symbols mean. I tell you what, you got sense enough to understand the symbols, amen, when you go to your cell phone and you figure them out. I'm closing. Watch what he says. I want you to watch this now. Go with me to Revelation 22. I want to show you something else. Revelation 22. Now that Revelation 1, 3 through 6 was at the beginning of the revelation. But Revelation 22, 12, I want you to watch this. Now watch what he says. Behold, I come what? And my what? Reward is what? To give every man according as his work shall be. Now here again he says, at the beginning he said, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. And so here at the end he says, I am what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now watch the word. He used that same word. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Are you with me? For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now watch him again. Now I told you who I was at the beginning. Now I'm going to tell you again. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Now watch him again. Let him that what? Heareth. Say what? Come. Let him that what? Is athirst what? Come. And whosoever will, let him what? Take of the water of life what? Freely. For I testify unto, now watch how important this thing is. For I testify unto every man that what? Of the what? Prophecy of this what? If any man shall what? Add unto these things. God shall what? Add unto him the what? The plagues that are what? Written in this book. And if any man shall what? Take away from the words of the book of the prophecy. God shall what? Take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are what? Written in this book. I am simply showing you from the beginning, he emphasized to John, write. At the end, he comes back and he says, blessed are you if you hear and if you are a keeper of this. Don't you add to what I put in this book. Don't you take away from what I put into this book. What is written is so important. All I'm asking us to do is to take the time. Do you not know you lose 60% of what you hear? But it is a scientific fact that if you activate your brain, because it's divided into several compartments, one has to do with hearing and the audible part of one's ability. The other part of the brain, in order to write, it connects to another part of the brain. So now you have these compartments having to work together in order for you just to write. In other words, when you are writing, what you hear, your brain gets active far more than you just sitting and listening. When you have to write what you hear, you don't get distracted by other things because you're listening more intently in order to write. And so what you and I need to do is to understand how important it is for us to be involved in every aspect that God has asked us. We need to get involved in writing notes. I don't understand why you got that device. Why don't you just, instead of texting, why don't you just take notes on what is being said? It is a proven fact that kids in college and in school who take good notes make good grades. If you don't take notes, how are you going to be able to recall and then be blessed by what is said and what is written? We are in a generation where the devil is doing everything he can to take us away from the reading and the application of God's word. All of these devices and all of these things that we're involved in, I'm just asking, if you want to have an unshakable faith, rooted in an unmovable God, you've got to, can't say, well, I just wait on God to come. No, you're going to have to get in that Bible and read. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, for his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate how? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If you in the midst of your tribulation and trial, don't start reading your Bible. Listen, read the Bible. Call a friend and say, what good verse should I read this morning in order to deal with the situation? Get involved that way. Call in one another. Study the Bible together. God wants us to have our faith rooted in what is written. Now, my last point is this. This is the verse that I think is so beautiful. And this is what it says in Revelation 14, verses 12 through 13. We read this all the time, but I want to read it in the context of what I've said this morning. In Revelation 14, 12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. And then watch what he says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? He said, what? Blessed are the what? The dead which what? Die in the Lord. From henceforth said the Spirit, yea, said the Spirit, they may what? Rest from their labors, and their what? Works do follow them. That verse, God told John, write it. Because I need to know that even though death may take me, I am assured of the fact that my works and that which I am goes with me. Who I am in God goes with me. What I have done for God goes with me. Everything else, you're leaving it behind. But as long as I know that I can put my faith and trust in this, then death takes on a whole new perspective. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Cancer comes on you. Blessed are the dead which, I read it, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Somebody goes into your bank account and takes all of your money. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth said the Spirit. You spent all that money trying to win the lottery and win that thing last week and you didn't get it. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. For hence said the Spirit. All I'm saying, I said that to make you life, but I'm being very serious with you that these are the times you get flat on your back and you know that the doctor has given up on you, then this is what will hold you, root you, because you say, well, no, I read it. No, I read it. I didn't just hear it. I read it. And that's enough. I had one more that I wanted, but I want you to go and read it. I want you to go back and read Revelations 21, 1 through 8. And I want to see you come away from that with a lot of confidence in what God is doing for the end of time. The only point that I wanted to make this morning, and that is, Jesus put great emphasis on his revelation by telling John to write it. I'm saying to us, if he put that much emphasis on writing it, you and I need to put a lot more emphasis on reading it and making sure. You will have a better understanding of God's will if you just read the Word of God. May God bless you. May God keep you. If you're here, you're a child of God. I ask that you remain faithful. Don't let the devil take you away. Continue to be faithful to the Lord. If you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're not a Christian, you don't have a relationship with Christ, you come by hearing the gospel. The Bible is right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to come not only hearing and believing, but you're going to have to repent. Jesus says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus is right when he says, as he gives the message to Peter on the day of Pentecost, when they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What must you do? You got to be baptized. Baptism is for the remission of sin. Don't let people tell you, well, that's a formula, and that's a formula that men put together. I just told you everything that the Lord said. That is written. Amen. Hearing is written. Believing is written. Repentance is written. Confession is written. Matthew 10, verse number 32. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Baptism is written. Amen. So when they come to me, I wouldn't do that because, no. I tell you what's not written, a man being saved by faith only, and a man being saved by prayer, that's not written. All right. So if you want to be saved, you better go by what's written. If you're not saved, you're going to have to culminate your obedience in the water of the grave of baptism. The water's ready. Clothes are available. Everybody's here hoping and praying that you'll be baptized. That puts you in this relationship with Christ where he becomes your Savior. And everything that he's written, every promise that he's made is yours because he put it in print. May God bless you. If you're here, will you come right now while together we stand and sing, will you come?
Would you?